Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, and welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Tan, and I wanted to just come on tonight and give you a few nuggets of wisdom to get you through this, to end this week and to possibly start you off on the new week. And so tonight's podcast is entitled, Be the Light. Again, tonight's podcast is entitled, Be the Light. As I was sitting here thinking about the light, so many different things came to mind about being the light. And so, you know, when we think about, biblically speaking, when we talk about the light, we know that the light represents God, it represents his promises, the choices, righteousness. And then we know that darkness represent sinful nature. It could represent evil, Satan. So all of the things that are not of God would be darkness. And so when you think about what being the light really means, I just want to give you three talking points tonight, and then we'll wrap up. And so going from what being the light is, what we know the light is, thinking about what it says, the psalmist says, I once was blind, but now I see. And so you think about blindness, meaning that it's dark, but to be able to see means that you have a spiritual illumination. You know, if we're talking about blindness in the physical realm, it means that you will not be able to see. And to be able to gain sight, which means that now that those things that were dark that you couldn't see, now you're able to see them. But when we're talking about being blind in the spiritual realm, that means that you are have a sinful nature, that you are operating in the flesh. And so to be blind means that you can't see the error of your ways, that you are operating out of sinful nature, out of fleshly desires. And so being blind means that you are operating against what God has called for you to do, disobedience. But once you have been given the ability to see, now you realize that that sinful nature, that your fleshly desires are not of God, and you have changed your ways. And scripture says that if any man be a new if any man be in Jesus, he is a new creature in Christ. And so, you know, one thing that we have to understand is that once you have given your life to God, once you have given your life to Christ, and you have confessed your sins and made a change for the better, then you are now a new creature in Christ. Okay. And so that means that the old self has been buried, and now that you are a new creature in Christ. Okay. And so this is very important, because that also goes with the being the light. Now, I also thought about the analogy of, for us in real time, just thinking about driving down the highway or down the street in the dark. if we did not have headlights, and we did not have street lights to illuminate our path, then how difficult would it be for us to drive a vehicle without headlights, without street lights, without the little highlighted markers along the highway or the streets that we travel daily? It would be very difficult for us to maneuver without those particular without the lights, you know, for us to see. But because we have headlights, we have taillights in the back for the people that's coming behind us, which, you know, I'm thinking about that too, because, and I'll come back to that, but you have the headlights in the front, you got the taillights in the back, but it helps us to see our path. In other words, the headlights are in front of us to guide us along the way. In essence, the correlation is that God says the good steps of a man are ordered by him. Okay, that's what the Bible says. So he has ordered our steps. He says that he'll be, he will illuminate our path. All we got to do is follow him. It's already paved the way. He said he'll be a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. In other words, that every step that we take on our faith walk, he will be ahead of us. He will stand with us. He will be beside us. He'll come behind us. In other words, our path will be light lit. We won't have to wonder if we're drifting off the path, because he is leading the way. If we let God be our guide. And scripture tells us that we should allow God to lead us. But now let's talk about the taillights for just a minute, because when I think about the taillights, I think about being the light also means that we are on display, that we have people that are watching us, that we have people that maybe their spiritual walk or their faith walk is not as strong as your faith walk is. And so they're watching because we are essentially essentially, if we're thinking about it from a metaphorical standpoint, a living Bible. We're the only real Bible in real time that people will see, because a lot of people may not read the Bible. They may not frequent, you know, God's house and worship with others. And so how we present ourselves, how we act, how we respond to life situations might be the only real example that they have of what spiritual, a person that is on a spiritual journey, a person that's on the battlefield for the Lord, a person that is following Christ, what that looks like. And so the taillights represent to me is an indication for the person behind me to be able to see where I am. And so I believe that also because of that same analogy, that we have to be mindful of how we represent God. If we say that we are disciples for him, then we have to make sure that we are every day denying our flesh, denying ourselves, and picking up our cross and trying to the best of our ability with the good Lord's help to live a righteous life, a just life, where we have integrity, one where it doesn't matter if anybody is watching us or not, that we are doing the right thing anyhow. And so the taillights represents that we have people watching us to see how we respond. And that could be the very indicator or maybe the very catalyst that changed their lives for the better. And so we want to be mindful that we do not present ourselves as a stumbling block for our fellow man that might be weaker in the faith. But in other words, we are to edify those that are in a state where they are maybe not as strong as we are. Scripture says that we are to bear the infirmities of the weak. And so that is something that we are called to do. That is what God expects for us to do, is to be the light. And so let me get into these nuggets. I just wanted to give out those analogies because as I was thinking and pondering and studying and meditating on the word, those things came to me. And I wanted to make sure that I spoke about it, because a lot of times when we get deep into the word, when we start reading the word, even though we might have be reading it to gain understanding about one particular thing, I know you all can agree with me. There's a lot of times that the Holy Spirit will bring something else out of what you study. And so there's never a time that you can read the Bible and not get something new out of it. I mean, you can read the Bible every day for the rest of your life, and you will still come up with something new, something relevant, something right on time for whatever situation, whatever circumstance you might find yourself in. There's never going to be redundancy in the Bible. There's never going to be a point where it's repetitive as far as what you're learning, because what the Holy Spirit does is he gives us what we need in the season that we are in. And so we are always prepared. And you can read the same scripture for 15 days in a row, and the Holy Spirit will give you a new perspective, a new outlook on it every time. And so we don't want to shy away from reading our Bibles on a daily basis, to spending time with him, because in order for us to be the light, we have to sharpen our saw. And in order to sharpen our saw, we have to read the word of God, because the word is our weapon. And in order for the word to be our weapon, and what that means is that in order for us to fight this good fight of faith, in order for us to withstand the wiles of the devil, in order for us to put on the whole armor of God, we have to know what the word of God says. And and we have to know what the promises of God says, so that we can stand on his word and not worry about what the world is throwing at us. And so tonight, like I said before, I want to talk about being the light. And so these three things I want us to remember, and I'm going to break it down before I get off the air tonight. And so the first thing that we want to do when we are considering being the light, we have to understand that no matter what you do, some people won't like you. Okay. Number one, no matter what you do, some people won't like you. Okay. And so let's talk about that. And I went to Matthew when Jesus was following, when the large crowd was following Jesus. Okay. And so this is back in Matthew 12, around verse 15. And so if you can remember, Jesus had this large crowd following him, and he had, they were following him because Jesus was becoming popular for a lot of reasons. Some of the people did not believe that he was who he said he was. Some people just wanted him to keep performing miracles and keep trying to convince them that he is who he is. And really and truly, you know, we have to understand, sometimes people in our lives want us to justify or try to convince them of certain things. But the word God's word doesn't need any help. We don't. Because his word justifies itself. It's the scripture says that his word will not return to him void, and so it'll accomplish whatever he sends it out to do. So it's gonna, the word is what it is, and it's nothing that people, that, you know, for all this time, people have been challenging the word of God and been challenging if Jesus is real, and look how long they have been challenging and trying to debunk the fact that he is real, because we know he's real, and look how long it's been, and they still haven't proven it yet. And to the length, to the extent that they're going to try to disprove him, every time he shows up and shows them that he is who he is, that he is the great I am. And so we have to be mindful that during this time, there was a lot of talk. And so Jesus didn't want to keep performing miracles and healing people because he didn't want people, he didn't want them to be coming around him for the wrong reasons, you know, having ulterior motives. You're not really coming to get saved. You're not really coming because you are seeking me. You know, you're thirsting after me. You're coming because you're trying to quench your own thirst, your own mindset, your own thinking, you know, your own fleshy desires, your own thought process. That's all they were doing. It wasn't about being real. This was there. Some of these people were just doing it just to see. Let's see if he can continue to do this. Let's see if he can continue to do that. They had the wrong motive. And one thing about that, let me just say about having the wrong motive. Jesus looks at your heart. Or, you know, that's what God does. That God looks at your heart. And Jesus was looking at their heart. And so when it comes to us, he knows if our intentions are good or not. And based on our heart posture, that's going to determine the blessings that we acquire or we don't. Because one thing about it, you can't fool God. You can fool people, but you can't fool him. And that is so important. And so Jesus realized that a lot of the people had the wrong motive. And so he did not want to dampen or hinder his ministry because of people looking at it from a worldly perspective instead of a spiritual connection. Because now people will be only seeking him for miracles and healing. And even though he was very capable of doing that, he wanted them to seek him for their salvation, to be saved, to trust him, to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You know how it is, you know, a lot of times when it comes to people believing you, no matter what you do, they won't like you, you know, and you can think about it. Even though I've read this scripture, you can think about one thing for sure is that if God has called you, nobody can stop you. If he has anointed you and appointed you, you know, you won't be disappointed. And a lot of times, just because someone doesn't like you, does not negate the calling on your life. I mean, those are two separate things, and that's okay. The people that did not like Jesus, look at the people that didn't believe in him, that were going against him, that ultimately all the people that were part of the reason why he was crucified, think about that. But even with all of that happening, all the people that tried to discredit him, all the people that didn't like him, all the people that were going against him, his purpose was still the same. His purpose didn't change. His anointing didn't change because people didn't like him. So that comes with the territory. So number one, no matter what you do, some people won't like you, and you have to be okay with that, because your anointing, your calling, your purpose is not contingent upon people's acceptance of you. You can be great without them. But I do believe that opposition from people helps to keep you in prayer. Because if everybody liked us, would we fall away from seeking God and lean more toward the approval of man? But when we have this opposition that we don't understand, where we're not the person that is engaging or instigating the the issues, but it's still happening to us through no fault of our own, that keeps you near the cross. It keeps you on your knees and it keeps you humble because it lets you know that without God, it's going to be hard to be victorious every day because we get into our flesh. We are human. Sometimes we want to respond. We will respond in a human way because we have to deny our flesh daily. And so that is a daily journey. Every day is a new day full of new mercies. And because that's what Lamentations tell us. But at the same time, every day we have to put on the armor of God every day. Just like we get up every morning and put on our clothes to go to work or wherever we're going, we have to get up every morning and we have to put on the whole armor of God to be able to get through that day. And we don't have to necessarily, go into each day thinking that we're going to be defeated or looking for trouble or having the mindset that every day is going to be a chaotic struggle. Because when you have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, the peace that the world can't give to you and they can't take away, even with the challenges of life, you're going to be okay. You're going to be at peace. You're not going to be easily rattled. Your faith is not going to be easily to have it fluctuate back and forth or to be dampened or to doubt because your faith is going to be intact and it's going to be anchored in the Lord. And it's going to be because he's done it before and you know that he can do it again. So point one, no matter what you do, some people won't like you and that's fine. Point two, what your critics don't understand about you, they will try to discredit you. I said what? I meant when your critics don't understand you, they will try to discredit you. And so that is true because when you think about in Matthew, again, in 12, verse 22, when the religious leaders were accusing Jesus of being on Satan's team, okay? And so, you know, the Pharisees, they had already accused Jesus of being Satan. You know, they was trying to discredit him. And what they was trying to do, because they couldn't understand, they didn't understand him. They didn't understand why he was so powerful. They knew he was anointed. They could see the anointing on him. They knew it was something different about him. And they just didn't like it because they didn't understand it. Now, sometimes, you know, when people try to discredit you because they don't understand you, it's because they jealous of the anointing that you have, that the blessing that the hand of God has on you. They're jealous of that. They see something in you. They see that light. Okay. And so they don't understand it. And so when people can't understand and cannot comprehend, then they go to try to discredit you. But what happened was, you can't let these people pull you into their storm. You need to pull them over into your peace. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't even entertain them. I don't have to defend who I am to you. I don't have to argue or debate with you about why God is using me. I don't have to argue or debate with you about why God has his hand on me. God has chosen you for such a time as this. And that you're going to attract enemies or people that dislike you. Think about this. The light attracts those little bugs. You know, you have the light on outside and you cut the light on outside of your house and then you see all those little bugs flying around the light. It attracts it. Think about this analogy. In a dark room, you can't see anything. You cut the light on. What happened to darkness? It's gone. And so guess what? When you show up because you're on assignment for the Lord. You're doing kingdom business. You have been anointed and appointed for such a time as this. Your God has his hand on you. You're in purpose, walking on purpose. The light comes on when you walk into the room. The light comes on when you walk in into a place. Wherever you are, the light is on. And so if there's any darkness anywhere in your vicinity when you enter the room or when you enter a place, guess what? The darkness is on high alert, because now the energy has shifted. Now the focus on darkness has shifted to the light, because when the light comes on, or when the light enters the room, the darkness has been dispelled. It has to disappear. It can't stand. And so it's kind of like the Bible says, when if you resist the devil, the enemy will flee. And so that's the same thing. If you resist him, which means is be the light, then guess what? The enemy will flee. In other words, the darkness has to go. It's dispelled. It is non-existence. It can't, the darkness can't stand in the room with the light. It can't coexist. You can't have the light on and still see darkness in the room. Naturally. Spiritually. Same thing. You can't expect darkness to win or overtake light when light is present. Case in point, if the enemy is attacking you, but God has his hand on you, he can't win. Scripture says that the weapon will form, but it won't prosper. Scripture says, and that's Isaiah 54:17. Romans 8:37 says that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. More than a conqueror. In other words, you know, you could be a conqueror, but you are more than one. So to be more than a conqueror is greater than being a conqueror, right? So you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. It means you're undefeated with him. He says you can do all things, not some, all things through Christ who strengthens you, which means you're undefeated. And the enemy knows that. So what he does is he tries to discredit you, to discourage you, try to get you in these emotional battles, get you thinking one way. The word of God has promised you this. The promises of God are there. The word of God speaks it for you to read it and to declare it over your life. But then the enemy wants to put in your mindset, well, look at what's happening. But we understand that when we, even though we have the natural ability to see, we have to understand that our battle is not natural. It's a spiritual battle. And we can't go through life assessing our situation in the natural realm, because what we see in the natural is not what's really happening in the spiritual realm. In other words, that in the natural, it might appear that nothing is happening in your current circumstance or situation, because we don't see God working naturally in the physical realm. But to know who he is and what he stands for, we have to know that even when it feels like he is not working behind the scenes, he is. Because just because it's not happening as quickly as we expect it to, doesn't mean that he is not working it out for our good. It says that he neither sleeps nor slumbers. In other words, he's on watch all the time. He said he'll be with you until the end of time. And so even saying that, we know that he's working it out for us. And it's so hard for us to really comprehend when we get into these debates with people about what they think versus what we know. And what we know is that God does not lie. He cannot lie. And if he said it, that settles it. So why are we debating with people about what they think and whatever their perspective is, when God has already told us what his word says. He showed us what he can do. He promised us that he would do what he was going to do for us because we trusted him, we were obedient, and we allowed him to order our steps. So if God said that he would do it, why would we believe that he wouldn't? And the problem is we allow people to paint a picture about our future when they don't even know how theirs are going. We get too caught up in what people think. We get too caught up in other people's opinions. And, you know, other people's opinions create other people's problems. And I don't deal with other people's problems. So what I do is I focus on God. And if I focus on him, I don't have to worry about other people's opinions or other people's problems because it has nothing to do with me. I don't have to entertain it. And we have to get to that point where we're not entertaining things that are going against what God has told us, what the promise of God has told us. We have to stay focused and we have to be the light. And as long as we're being the light, guess what happens? It's hard when you're being the light for the darkness to affect you on the inside, to dampen your spirit, to discourage you. The last nugget is challenges come, but with God, you can overcome them. Challenges come, but with God, you can overcome them. And I was thinking about the parable in Matthew about the weeds or the wheat and the tare. You know, scripture talks about the wheat and the tare or the weeds are all growing up together. Growing up together. In other words, you got people on assignment for the Lord about kingdom business mingled in with people that are on assignment for the enemy. All together. Scripture says that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust because we're all there together. At some point, the separation will happen. Guess what? It's going to be one of the determinants of the separation. Your light. Are you going to dim the light? Or are you going to be the light? And when you be the light, that means that you're allowing God to flow in you and through you. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak with you, to speak to you. You're not grieving the Spirit. You're not, when the Holy Spirit is telling you to do this, you're not shutting it down. You're listening and you're being obedient. Scripture says that my sheep hear my voice. And so you know who's speaking to you. You know what is expected of you. That's being the light. Even when people are mistreating you, and that is very hard. I'm not going to tell you that it's not going to be hard some days, but I know that it'll be worth it. You know, when it gets hard for us, James says to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, knowing that it worketh our patience. And I tell you this, when you get to that place where you allow God to work in you and through you, you'll realize that sometimes a response is not even needed. You can just be quiet because sometimes silence is greater than a response. And you'll realize that when you don't respond, then when people look at you like, why they didn't say anything? What are they thinking? They can't really figure you out. But it helps you because, you know, in the human nature says that to respond loudly means that you're strong. And to remain silent means that you are weak. But in actuality, in the spiritual mindset, to remain calm and quiet. And now I'm not saying you have to be quiet all the times, because the Holy Spirit will alert you when to speak up and when to stand up. But what I'm saying is, a lot of times being quiet is the best thing. You know, it talks about that in Proverbs about, you know, our response. One response will instigate wrath, while the other one will turn it away. And so we have to be mindful of that. But to be quiet shows your strength. And it shows your strength is anchored in the Lord, because you're trusting him to fight your battles. Scripture says, revenge is mine, says the Lord. He gonna repay. He does it. And I'm gonna tell you, if you're, you know, I'm a firm believer. My mom says this all the time. You know, you have to be careful who you are mistreating, who you are plotting against, because you don't know how close they are to the good Lord. And it is so true. And if you're really close to the good Lord, he'll allow you to see the salvation. He'll allow you to see the people that have wronged you. He'll allow you to see them. They are, and a lot of he'll allow you to see it in real time. It'll come right back to him. He'll let you see it. I'm also a firm believer that when God shows you something that maybe you think that somebody is doing you wrong and they don't know that you know, it's not for you to go and announce that you know it. God is showing you to let you know he's going to take care of it. He didn't have to show you. But what he's showing you is say, you know what? I got it. I'm just showing you. I want you to see this so you know who you're dealing with. But I'm not showing you for you to say something. I'm showing you to let you know that I see it too and I got it. I need you to be still and know that I'm God. That's all he needs you to do. And you'll feel so much better in doing so, because you know what happens then? You have not responded. You don't have to worry about you reaping what you sow, because you did not act out on your emotions. You stood firm in your faith. And that makes a big difference. And so being the light in this sinful world is important, because it's so easy to get caught up in what the world is doing. It's so easy to get caught up in responding in the world of weight. Are we human? Yes. Can it happen? Yes. But, you know, even if you respond out of character, there's always forgiveness, and there's always, you know, your ability to make it right with that person. And, you know, we don't have to blast it all over social media when somebody has wronged you. The good book says that you're supposed to go to that person and make it right with them privately first. And a lot of times we bring a whole lot of people into situations that we don't even have to bring them in. If we would just do it God's way, it would minimize a whole lot of issues, a whole lot of confrontations and discord that we see happening all the time. We have gotten away from really thinking about how we treat people. You know, I'm reminded about the parable of one of the parables was talking about the merchant, you know, and he was, you know, wanting what he was adamant about his debt being forgiven. You know, he was adamant about that. He was adamant about it being forgiven. His debt being forgiven, right? But then, and his debt was a greater debt. But then when somebody owed him something, he didn't want to forgive that. It was the same exact thing. Like, how can you expect forgiveness for your debt. But then when somebody is asking for the same grace measure to them that you receive, you say no. And that's kind of like what we look at when we're talking about conflict. It's so easy to point the finger when we feel we've been wronged and we expect, you know, this to happen, that to happen, forgiveness and all of that. But then when we're the person that's doing the wrong, do we then expect the same out of ourselves that we expect out of others? So being the light takes a lot. It takes a lot of soul searching, a lot of heart preparation. And when I say heart preparation, in other words, you have to ask God to come in and clean you up on the inside to help you to become the person that he has predestined you to be. And it's a daily journey. And if anybody tells you that, you know, because you believe in God and it's you, you know, are supposed to be perfect, then you need to tell that person it's only one that's perfect and it's not you or me. But God has perfected you to be what he has called you to be. He used imperfect people for his perfect purpose. Everybody that he called in the Bible, everybody that he chose, because many are called but few are chosen. Everybody that he chose was imperfect. But because he had his hand on them, their purpose was perfected. And I tell you this, a man's character will show you who he is and his heart posture as well. And do people make mistakes? Yes. But one mistake out of 1,000 rightful reactions or interactions does not make a person, does not say that that person is not of God. You got to look at, you know, and we're so quick to crucify each other based on one or two interactions. You got to be mindful of that. If a person has proven or shown their character to be that of someone, excuse me, that has integrity, that does right, that tries to do right, that has faith and trust the Lord, allows God to be their guide, and they slip up a few times, that does not mean that they don't believe in God. That just means that they're human. So we have to be mindful of that. And last thing about being the light, even though I've given my 3 points, point number one, your calling. You know, when we're talking about your calling, no matter what you do, some people won't like you. Point number two, when your critics don't understand you, they will try to discredit you. And then point number three, challenges come, but with God, you will overcome them. What I want to tell you is that there are going to be some times that you are not the people's choice, but you're God's chosen. And as long as you're God's chosen, it doesn't matter if you are the choice of the people or not. And I say that to say this. There are a lot of people that are discrediting you, or they are not supporting you because it's you. And so God is using some people in this season that are the most unlikely people to be about his business. There's going to be a shift in who God uses. It's not going to be the most popular people or the people that you feel should be used. It's going to be people like you that God is going to use, the people that are maybe not with the in crowd, the people that are the least likely to have a large following, or the people that are least likely to have people support them. And the reason being is kind of like, you remember the Battle of Gideon? Least likely to win with 300 men, but God did it again, didn't he? He didn't need all those men to win. He just needed God's hand, God's favor. And so a lot of people are going to miss the message because they're too intrigued with disliking the messenger. But don't you be one of those people. And how do you know that the message is of God or is God inspired? It's to study to show yourself approved. It's to get in your word. It's to know the promises of God. So when you hear his voice through whoever he sends as his messenger, you will receive the word. Not because it's someone you know or you like. You receive the word because you know that God is planting that word for a season such as this to prepare you for what's to come. Don't miss the message because you don't like the messenger. Let God be your guide. Let him help you to stay on the path of righteousness. Let God work through you, your soul salvation, clean you up, make you better than you were on yesterday, so that you are more prepared today in order to be focused and spiritually driven for tomorrow. Be the light. Be the light.
You said you never make it.
Be the light.
Desert you feel you can't take
your calling. Will speak,
but he didn't bring
be
you
the light.
Far
your anointing will speak for you.
Fail.
Be the light.
God,
your faith walk with God will speak for you. Be the light. You only need to be still and allow the salvation of the Lord to prevail. Be the light. Be the light. For I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Jesus, the light of the world. Be the light. Jesus, the Lion of Judah. Be the light. Jesus, the King of Kings. Be the light. Jesus, the Great I Am. Be the light. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Be the light. Jesus, the Deliverer. Be the light. Jesus, the bread of life. Be the light. Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Be the light. Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Be the light.
I want to speak to your heart today. Listen. You shall prepare.
Yes, he is.
He won't let you fail.
Be the light. Jesus, the mighty one. Be the light. Jesus, the one who sets free. Be the light. Jesus, the peace of God. Be the light. Jesus, your rock. Be the light. Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Be the light. Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. Be the light. Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Be the light. Jesus, the true vine. Be the light. Jesus, the truth and the life. Be the light. Be the light. Be the light. Until we meet again. Be the light. I'm your host, Dr. Tan of Tana Ministries, with I Speak Life, inspirational podcast. Be the light, because God believes in you. Be blessed.
I'm telling you,
and definitely encouraged. Until we speak again, God bless.
Yes, He does. Want you to know, I want you to know. No matter who walked away, God is faithful to stay. He believes in you.